Good morning.
Whoa. Thank you, Nicole. It's my wonderful wife. She's really awesome at violin. And that was the song, O Merciful Redeemer. Because this morning, sorry, this has to recognize my face or it won't open. Or maybe I'll have to type in the pin. My name is Chaz Wyatt, and I'm the youth pastor here. And I wanted to preach this morning on mercy. And I wanted to preach about someone who never understood mercy. Whole time we read about him in the Bible, didn't get it. And that guy's name is Jonah. Okay, so I don't know if anyone's remembered this joke. I've gotten better at it. But I had a bit of a reputation for when I'm on stage, for everyone who has to come after me, you know, whether it's the worship team or Pastor Steve or whoever, I go way too quick with things. So this morning I thought I'd set an all-time record where I'm going to have two messages this morning. The first one, I'm going to see how quickly I can share that message and how much I can summarize it. It'll be the same message. And I'm going to do that by quoting from the Jonah movie, the VeggieTales Jonah movie, the chorus from the final song, and the title is Jonah Didn't Get It. And so the lyrics go like this. Jonah was a prophet, ooh, ooh, and he really never got it. Sad but true, if you can watch him, you can spot it. A doodly-doo, he did not get the point. Compassion and mercy, from me to you and you to me, exactly what God wants to see, and yes, that is the point. So if you got that, then I think we're at about 20 seconds for my sermon, which I think will be an all-time record. But I'll give another one, so let's pray. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins they are many, his mercy is more. What patience could remember, could wait as we constantly roam. What father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Lord, these words are so true. And God, the words that I'm speaking today, they aren't going to mean a whole lot if we aren't really just getting it, whatever I'm about to say, struck directly from you. So Lord, whatever message you have for all of us today, myself included, let that be what is heard this morning. Amen. So Jonah's story, it's pretty short. In the entirety of Scripture, it's pretty short. It's about four chapters. But the lesson of mercy that he learns throughout this whole thing, you need to read the whole thing to really get it. So, if you'll bear with me, this morning, the first part of my message, we're going to go through the entirety of the book of Jonah. I'm going to summarize some of it. So, you don't have to try to follow along because there's a good chance that with some summarizations, we can really just get through this really quick. But there are some key verses that I wanted to share with this. So, bear with me for this first part. We're going to go through four chapters of the Bible very quickly. In chapter 1, starting right off the bat, it says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." God issues Jonah a command. It's a very basic one. It's very understandable. Go to this place, say this stuff to these specific people that I want to hear my message. Now, if Jonah had obeyed, if his story had been like a lot of other prophets' stories, where he obeys, he does what God tells him to do, this would have been a very short book. Maybe not even mentioned in the Bible, because Jonah's story is the story of someone who didn't get it, and we are learning from his mistakes. And right away, Jonah decides in verse 3, nope, not going to do it. So he flees to Tarshish. Tarshish, if Nineveh is this way, Tarshish is that way. He hires a boat, he gets on a boat, and he sails to Tarshish. And God doesn't like that. He sends a storm. He sends a storm, and so for the next couple of verses, we get to see the terror and the fear of what happens when you disobey God. And the sailors, they knew this. The sailors, they recognized pretty quickly something was going on. The storm must have been bad enough because instead of trying to get out of it, which I'm sure they did, but instead of continuing to try, they eventually gave up and just decided, we got to cast lots. We got to see who really angered their God and made the storm come upon us. So that's what they did. The sailors decided, we're going to see who did this, and it fell on Jonah. And then Jonah admits it. I don't think he repented in this chapter. I don't think he really got it still, but at least he admitted it. He said, yep, me, I got it. And he commands them to throw him into the ocean. And ironically, we see some compassion and mercy from the most unlikely people, the sailors. It first says they tried to paddle back to shore. They continue trying to escape the storm. But then they say this in verse 14. They say, therefore, they, the sailors, called out to the Lord, saying, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. They were willing, even though this God of Jonah had only been their God for a few minutes, they were willing to say, we recognize your power, we recognize your authority, please, we don't, if this is the only way, please spare us. Your prophet's telling us to do this. We don't want to unless you want us to. But they do it. They throw him overboard. And then in verse 17, the part of Jonah we'll never forget, Jonah was swallowed by a fish. He's swallowed by a fish. And then in chapter 2, he spends many days, 3 days in fact, praying inside this fish. And we see that even though, spoiler alert for the rest of the chapter, the rest of the book, he doesn't really learn, but we see that in verse 9, we see that Jonah gets, he understands he messed up. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, with sacrifices to you, what I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He says, okay, I get it. I'll go along. And then God commands the fish, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. God accepts his apology and says, go for it. He spits him back out. So now we're in chapter 3, and I thank you all for continuing to go along with this. In chapter 3, God gives him the same command. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. And this is the first little lesson that we can glean from Jonah. And that is this. The commands of God do not change even when our hearts resist. The commands of God do not change even when our hearts resist. God didn't look at Jonah and go, oh, I'm so sorry. Was that too hard? Okay. You're on a beach. You just got spit up by this giant fish. You see that dead crab over there? Go pick it up. Okay, now just tell that crab about me. Will that be easier? No, God didn't do that. He gave him the same commandment. Go to Nineveh. Tell them about me. The commands of God do not change, even when our hearts resist. And then in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 3, we're still in chapter 3, Jonah obeys. He does it. He goes to Nineveh, and he preaches. He shares. And the most amazing thing happens. Now, I felt like it would be inappropriate to share some of the details of why Nineveh was such an evil group of people. In the Jonah VeggieTales movie, they were slapping people with fishes. I'm pretty sure it was worse than that in real life. But even if it were that, that's pretty inconsiderate. So we can assume that these Ninevites were pretty bad people. And yet, every single one of them decides, I want to change. I'm not living this way anymore. Even up to their king, the king of Nineveh, decides, not only am I going to change, I'm going to command every single person in under my authority, under my rule, to honor God, love God, respect his authority. Because if we don't, God is serious. And we're going to get destroyed. But even more amazing than 120,000 people, it says that at the end of the chapter, I'm not making that up. What's more amazing than 120,000 people deciding that they're going to turn from the worst and evil and most just despicable people to now following God is that a God who doesn't need to forgive them does this in verse 10 of chapter 3. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. We could have had another, you know, it could have been Sodom, Gomorrah, and Nineveh. But instead, we find out God reserved his wrath from them. He gave them a second chance. And this is where we get another big lesson from Jonah. God is godly enough to forgive anyone of anything, and he wants to. I don't know where you're at in life right now, and I'm not quite done, but I want to just take a moment and pause to discuss. I don't know where you're at, whether you're a regular churchgoer, or you're someone who maybe is at church for the first time, or maybe you're someone who's never been here at church or to any church and you're watching online. God is godly enough to forgive anyone of anything, and he wants to. He wants to give you a second chance. And he wants to give you a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. He wants to give you all the chances to experience his love. Don't sit on that. In chapter 4, this is where Jonah finally, God's been teaching those the readers and the people in this story a lesson. Now he's going to teach Jonah a lesson. In chapter 4, and this is, if you ever think the Bible isn't comical, there's still a really good message, but there's some comedy here too. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly that God didn't smite them exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I would rather have the worst toddler in the world in nursery than Jonah. He is such a baby." Now, from a worldly perspective, for justifiable reasons, the worst city in the world wasn't just eradicated, but also he just didn't get his way. And God calls him out in verse 4. And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now God's going to teach him the lesson. The lesson that Jonah has yet to learn, despite being in a storm that could have killed him, in a fish that could have killed him, and amongst a city that could have killed him, that repented. He still hasn't learned his lesson. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade until he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade over his head to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down over on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he says, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in the night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Jonah's right up to the end of the book. Jonah didn't get it. We're done with the summarization of Jonah, but Jonah didn't get it at all. He constantly saw Nineveh as his enemy that doesn't deserve anything except death and destruction. Because I know we're past Christmas, but I tend to be a little behind on the time, so God's kind of, in Jonah's mind, and it tends to be in a lot of our minds too, he tends to be kind of like Santa Claus. Not big, you know, red costume and big white beard and a sleigh and all that stuff, but because right now, Jonah's thinking that God is someone who has a naughty and nice list. And not only is he thinking, well, this, you know, naughty nice list is something that God does. Jonah wants to manufacture what this nice and naughty list should look like. And he's doing what honestly a lot of us tend to do. He decides, okay, I want these names on this side, and I want these names on this side. And, you know, I'm going to put myself on the nice list, but I'm going to put all my enemies on the naughty list, the people that I don't, you know, I don't like these people. These people, ugh, they deserve the worst. They deserve a lot of coal for Christmas. But for me, oh, no, no, no. I deserve, I guess, a plant. And, you know, all the best things. I don't deserve a storm. I don't deserve a whale to swallow me up or a fish. But see, the thing is, ironically, weirdly enough, God is like Santa Claus in this regard. Except it doesn't look like that. It looks like this. See, I know it even now, I've been preparing for this for multiple weeks. I still don't feel super comfortable saying some of these names, but I'm right up there. Apostle Paul, Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, the worst people you could think of, along with the rest of us. We're all up on this list. And we can back that up with Scripture. Romans 8:23. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But thankfully, there is one person on this list, on the nice list. It's not any of us. One person came down from heaven and made it onto the nice list. Jesus Christ. See, that's what Jonah's missing. This is what Jonah is missing. We're still on that naughty list. Nothing we can do gets us from that side to this side. Nothing. Doesn't matter if you do obey God when he tells you to talk to a whole bunch of mean people about him. Doesn't matter if you live your whole life being a relatively good person. Doesn't matter if you are the worst person in the world. We all still end up on there. It's very binary. Completely perfect or not perfect at all. But it doesn't just end with Jesus being on the nice side and all of us failing on the other. See, okay, so here's a picture of my sermon notes. I do not have good sermon notes. I was actually only screenshotting the part that it looked relatively clean and put together. But I like to use bullet points a lot. And how bullet points work, or at least how I use them, is a list within a list within a list within a list. See a Bible verse there with some lists about notes, and then within those notes, we got more notes with lists. And see, that's how the nice list works, too. Because even though Jesus is the only one on the top of the list, this is actually how the nice and naughty list looks. Jesus is the only, there's a list of one on the nice list. But within that list, under the name of Jesus Christ, there's the rest of us. Not because we made it there. For all have sinned. We've all sinned. Sin is making whatever mistake is contrary to God's plan, and then that dooms us all. For we all have sinned, but Jesus Christ gave us the way to make it onto the nice list purely because of his mercy and compassion. Because like I said, God is godly enough to forgive anyone of anything, and he wants to. You see, there's going to be a lot of people who don't accept that gift of mercy. But the cool thing is, anybody can. Nineveh, the whole city of Nineveh, every single individual is up on that list under the name of Jesus Christ. I'm up there. The Apostle Paul, Steve Couch. There's a lot of people up there. That list is going to be a lot longer. And that list, even though it doesn't go by the nice list, it's not called the nice list, there is a list like that. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written about in Revelation. And that's where, even though this message, sometimes it might, you know, might hit a nerve, that's the good news too. That this is a real list that we all can be on. And Paul knew this too. It says in Romans 5:8, and actually I skipped a little bit ahead, but in Romans 5:8, but God shows us his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were all like Nineveh, just running rampant in our sin. Even if our sin didn't look that bad, it was enough. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. And it's easy. This is where we need to internalize and wonder, in each given moment, are we being like Jonah? Paul understood this in 1 Timothy 1:15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul wasn't Jesus. He needed salvation too. And he said, I mean, he couldn't look through time and see all of the terrible people that would ever come into existence, or maybe he didn't know of all the people that had ever lived, but he knew of everyone who has lived, I am the worst sinner. Maybe that wasn't technically true, but guess what? You're either a sinner or you're forgiven. Nice list under Jesus, or naughty list. And that's what Jonah didn't understand. See, he was stuck on the fact that, well, my enemies deserve the judgment that I want them to have. instead of understanding the mercy that he had already received. So my final little lesson, little thing that I have for us is, our sins made us all enemies of God, but his mercy can make anyone his child. So who are your enemies? I'm going to address the people like me in the crowd who, you know, struggle with being like Jonah. Who are your enemies? Is it a coworker? Thankfully, I have some pretty great coworkers right now. But I hate to bash on them, but I work for the United States Postal Service. A lot of grumpy people there. And I had some people who, you know, there were days where they were my enemies. Is it maybe your neighbor who didn't vote the same way you did? Or maybe it was that their enemy is actually that awful person they did vote for. Or maybe it's a relative. Sometimes our relatives can really rub us the wrong ways. But regardless of who it is, we all start out enemies of God. And the only thing that changes, nothing that we on earth would decide is a factor for getting us from one list to another. The only thing is the mercy of Jesus Christ that he wants us all to experience. Our sins made us all enemies of God. And then to finish off with the joyful message. And this is for all of us too, but it's especially true and it's especially important for those who don't quite know if they know who Jesus is. They've never really experienced the love of Christ in the fullness that they can experience him. But his mercy can make anyone his child. If you're out there and you, or maybe even if you're sitting right here, and you don't feel like you fully understand the mercy of Jesus Christ, and maybe you haven't decided to live a life following him, he wants to make you his child. He wants to. He wants to bring you into the fold where all of a sudden, you know, it never in the Bible does it say you're going to get the car you want, the house you want, and, you know, all the money you want if you just become a follower of Christ. But it does say that from the inside out, we are going to have a transformation that will change our lives for the better forever. Let's pray. God, I need to hear this message. I was speaking to myself more than anything else. We all have enemies. We all struggle with this. And God, Jonah was, he went through some tough stuff that we never really understood if he learned his lesson yet, but that doesn't have to be us, and you know, we know that you love us. So I pray for each and every one of us that we leave here this morning, not with a sense of, ugh, I messed up, I'm like Jonah, but, oh, I've received mercy. I've received forgiveness. I've received love. And I want to show that to others, so that they can feel it too and experience it and live in it. Amen.